Good morning. I have 9 pages of notes sitting in the back room. I went over these last night, and started going over again this morning, and it was like I was reading gibberish, and it was like, okay, what's up? And it's like, just shut up and talk. I've got my scriptures. We'll get there. And it's like, all right. So if I don't make sense at times, that's okay. Pretend it's praying in tongues and go on. Okay? Even though it's not. No, my scripture, what I want to talk about today was three habits of a healthy heart. And we develop habits over the years. And sometimes they're good habits, sometimes they're bad habits. My dad had the habit of smoking. He got addicted to that. And it eventually led to emphysema and a miserable death. And so there's habits that are good and habits that are bad. But we've got to change. We want to change habits. We want to get rid of those that are bad and so on. But it's got to be one of those things where it's more than just changing our behavior. How many times have we gone through New Year's resolutions or other things like that when we tried to change our behavior, just change our behavior, and it lasted for a short time, and then it was gone? And so it's got to be something that comes from down deep inside. It's got to be a change in here of what's going to happen. The thing that stopped my dad from smoking was one day he was coughing. He developed this cough from smoking, and he was grumbling about the coughing. And my mother turned around and she goes, "Shut up. I'm tired of hearing you gripe and groan about your cough. If you're going to smoke, you're going to cough, so shut up and live with it." And my dad got up, walked over, pulled his cigarettes out of his pocket, dropped them in the garbage. That was the last time he ever smoked. A little bit too late because the damage had already been there, because your lungs don't heal themselves. But it has to change. And so the scripture I'm using today, it comes from Psalms, 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm has got the most verses of any book in the Bible. It's got like 180. And if you read the whole thing, it's kind of like sometimes it gets all over the place. But the psalmist is dealing with some stuff that he wants to take care of. This passage I'm going to read today talks about how he makes a change and starts making a change in his life. And in Psalms 119, 111 through 14, he says, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." So he's saying, your laws are the joy of my heart. They're what make me happy. "My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." My heart is set on it. It's heaven set. My heart is set on keeping this to the end. So what he's saying is, I don't want this to be something that I live for a week or a month or a year or 2 years, and then I'm right back in the old habit. I want this to be something that changes and that lasts. And he says, "I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word." He says, "I hate double-minded men." Now, hate, that's really an ugly word, isn't it? And so I thought, okay, well, that's in Scripture. So I looked it up. In the Old and New Testament, it's used 80 times, "I hate," or "hate," not "I." Just the word "hate." And 63 times it's used in the Old Testament, 17 in the New. I went through the Old Testament and I read them all. And of all of them, there's only 3 times it talks about a person. And even in this case where it mentions, "I hate double-minded men," his focus is on the double-minded. I hate double-mindedness. And so going through that, it was there. In the New Testament, the 17 times, it says, "I hate the practice of the Nicolaitans." It doesn't hate the Nicolaitans, hates the practice. And all the way through, it's the different things that are taking place that God hates. And most of the time, it's like, these people hate you. These people, you know, Jesus says, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you because of me. They're going to do this because of me. So he's not talking about a person, but he's talking about practices. Do you have things in your life that you hate? I do. I've got some new ones. They're going to be different down that road. And so, you know, what he's saying is, I want these things to last forever. Now, that was in the NIV. And the ESV, he says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I incline my heart. What does that mean? It's kind of an interesting word. At home, I have a recliner. And how many of you have those? Okay. Have a recliner. I sit in it and I lean back. Well, incline is just the opposite. When I worked at the hospital, we had incline tables for people. And it was just a flat table with a plate at the end. And we'd put the patients on there and we'd start standing them up because they had injuries or something like that where we had to do it gradually. So they'd get them up to where they could, they'd strap them on it so they wouldn't fall out, but they'd get incline them. Well, the incline means you're going to get it what? Pointing towards heaven. And so he says, I'm inclining my heart, getting it heaven bound. And when he's talking about the double-minded, he says, what he hates is this. Oh, I'm for it today. No, not today. Oh, tomorrow, yes. No, no. And in and out. And a lot of us, we get kind of used to being on the recline. And so when we wake up in the morning, however we feel, that's how we act for the day. We kind of stay in that reclined position. And so we get stuck in that spot. And so he says, I want to incline my heart to this. So it's heaven bound. Now, sometimes though, we have to hate. And you're going, what do you mean you have to hate? Love is a very strong emotion. Very strong emotion. But hate's even stronger. And so when you hate something, it sometimes makes a difference. It makes it easier. I have things that I hate. I hate to be late. Scott doesn't care. Drives me crazy. When he was taking care of his mom in California, I'd go down there and I'd want to go to church and we'd be getting ready. Church started at 11, and at 11, he's starting to get ready. And it's like, no, that's when you're supposed to be there. And his mother didn't like being late either. And she'd go to her AA meetings and stuff. And she was getting upset because he was late. And finally, I sat down and I talked to him. And I said, Scott, your mother gets upset because she does not like walking in late and having everybody stare at her. Doesn't want to be late. Now, I don't like being early. I didn't say I love being early. I just don't like being late. Now, most of you who know me, I pretty much show up 10 o'clock. If I headed someplace and I'm supposed to be there at 10, I'm there at 9:58. Just the way I've been all my life. Because if I'm late for an appointment with you, what does that tell you? It's disrespecting your time. Disrespecting your commitment to be here. That's why we really try to start services on time. Because we tell them, we're going to start at 11 o'clock. So that you know when to be here. Now, we don't tell you what time we're going to end. Because we don't know. We don't know when we're going to end. If I say we're going to end at 12 o'clock, I have to make a commitment then to shut up. I can't always do that. But sometimes, like I said, hate is good. I hate prejudice. I hate greed. I hate poverty. I hate bullying. I was bullied when I was in school. So were you. Who was bullied? How many people were bullied? A lot of us were. I mean, it's amazing how much, I just thought it was like I got razzed by everybody. I hated gym class because that's where I got bullied a lot. Because I was a skinny, skinny person. When I graduated from high school, I weighed 124 pounds. I've shown pictures of me with my ribs hanging out. And I got bullied with the towel. You got, because you were fat, okay? Yeah, we can get bullied for anything. So I hate that. A while back, I got a new hate. It started one day when I looked in the mirror. I was overweight. By a long shot. I had been really thin all my life, and then I gained and I gained and I gained and I gained. And most of the time I was hanging at about 208. I got up as high as 222. And I looked at myself in the mirror one day and I thought, I really hate this. Because I would tie my shoes. I would have to get down on my bed and get down special to tie my shoes and get short of breath. Tie in my shoes. What?
That's why they made slip-ons.
That's why they made slip-ons. Yeah? And that motivated me to, partly in my word for the year, change. You know, don't gripe about it, change it. Okay. And so I got this healthy discontent with my weight. And I was talking to my friend Ron, who made the glasses, the stained glass windows. And his doctor had put him on a diet. And I thought, okay, that's it. And I inclined my thoughts to heaven and says, okay, Lord, this has got to change. Another thing that helped, the doctor told me my cholesterol level was high. Cholesterol, great stuff. It was high. And I worked in the hospital for years. I know about cholesterol. But my doctor retired, and it had been high before with Rose. And she put me on a cholesterol med that made me dingier than I am already. And so I quit. Well, when she retired, I went to the other doctor, and he got on my case about it. He says, you know, you can be running along and look healthy and feel healthy and keel over dead. And I laughed, and I said, never happen. He says, what do you mean it'll never happen? I said, I don't run. I don't run. You know? I know. I don't exercise. I hate exercise. Now, I didn't used to, so what changed? Habit. And the fact that I used to drive past Deseret Gym every day on the way home from work, 3 blocks from my house, so I'd stop and exercise. Then they tore down Deseret Gym. I had to go 8 blocks out of my way. Are you kidding? But back in that time when it was convenient, I exercised. I was in good shape. In 83, my friend Ellen and I, we went on a hike up through Upper Yosemite, 75 miles. 15 miles a day. It was beautiful up there, and I loved it. Why? I was in shape. But now that I'm out of shape, I don't like that stuff anymore. But I hated the way I looked in the mirror. And so it's like, okay, I'm inclined towards this. And so I've changed my diet. Now, do I have it perfect? No. Ice cream and carbohydrates, and I have an interesting relationship. They're my thing. The first part about a healthy relationship, you have to hate. You have to have a healthy hate for the things you want that just get you, okay? Secondly, you have to make a change, and you have to know where to hide. It's called, I know where to hide. When things are going to happen, and you get to that point, something's happening in your life, where do you hide? We all have hiding places. Where's your hiding place? Part of mine was food. Every night I used to eat a big bowl of ice cream. Every night. When things happened, I'd head over to Chuck-O-Rama because you could get a lot of food. But that had to change. Does that mean I never blow it? Yes, I do. I blow it. I blew it Friday night. Ken Cream took me out to dinner for my birthday. I turned 17. I blew it. I had a rack of ribs and baked potato. Wow, they were good. Okay? But I didn't let it get me down because I planned it. We talked about it. I said, I can blow it, right? And they said, yeah. It's like, okay. So I did for that time. Scott keeps doing this. Where did you go? Because this shirt used to fit tight. Ask Gary how that feels. It's good. Now, I've got to hide. I hide in God's word. I hide in scriptures. I hide in reading things that encourage me, that with the Holy Spirit's help and guidance, I'll be fine. With the Holy Spirit. On my own, not so much. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to make the difference. And so I have to get that in there. And it's not just the psalmist. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. Guard your heart, because it's in your heart where those changes take place. It's in the heart where those changes take place. And you know what? We all have different things. We all have different things. I have my other hiding place is movies. I watch and buy movies. If you don't believe, go in the back in the library. There's a bookcase back there that has five shelves of movies. These are the Christian movies. Neither movies are at home. We had a yard sale one time. I gave away 140 movies that I had. Then I had to go buy them again. We have that, and we have to know where to hide. God is our refuge. There's a story in the scripture about Elijah, and he has a showdown with the Baal, priest of Baal, up on Mount Carmel. And he's up there, and you know the story. They put the cows on there, and they pour the water on them and all this stuff. And he calls down fire, and the fire consumes them. Well, Jezebel is a wicked queen, and she sends a message to Elijah that I'm going to kill you. And what does Elijah do? He takes off running, and he runs, and he outruns her. And he gets to a cave, and he goes in the cave, and he hides out in the cave. And at one point, God whispers in the cave and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you hiding in this cave? Didn't I protect you on Mount Carmel? Didn't I send down fire? And he got reminded. And there was a quote that I came across that I loved, and it said about Elijah, it says, why would you choose to hide in the place that would keep you confined when your calling is out there? Why would you choose to hide in the place that would keep you confined from your calling when your calling is out there? How often do we do that? Confine ourselves to places when our calling is out there. Now, I would love for this room to be packed. But more importantly, I pray that those of us who are here will get the Spirit and will hear something that they need to know. That we'll get it, that God will move in our lives. And you know what? Some people will get it, some people won't, or they'll get different messages. Because again, we all have different hiding places, don't we? And the third thing, though, is hope. He talks about hope. There's three things he outlines. He says, I hate the man. You're my refuge. My hiding place is in you and my shield. You are my refuge and my shield. My hope is in you. Where's our hope? Now, hope is an interesting word. If you say, I have hope, it's something I have. If I say, I hope, it changes it from a noun to a verb. And it becomes action. And you have to put your hand into it. I hope in you. I hope in you, God. I trust you. My hope is in your word. In Psalms 27, 13 to 14, it says, I am still confident of this. I will see the righteousness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. In all of this, when you find that thing that needs to change, hate it. It's a healthy hate. I don't hate ice cream. I don't hate spaghetti. I don't hate those pastas that I love. But I hate what they do to me. I can bend over and tie my shoes. I can get out here and I can touch the floor without killing my midsection. I like that. So when I think about gorging out, I don't. I went to Chuck-O-Rama the other day. I went in and I thought, oh, I used to eat three plates full. Potatoes and gravy with peas. I love it. One piece of barbecued rib, small, and a salad that was a third the size of the plate. 2 tablespoons of chocolate pudding. For me, that was phenomenal. I could never get away with that. I hate it. I've got to hate it, or else I'll fall all the time. I make me popcorn. I used to pop a bag of corn. I'd eat the whole bag. Yeah, it's easy to do. Now I have a bowl. I limit it to that bowl. I'm getting better, and I'm praying, God, help me through this. And God does. I have faith. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I have faith. God will help me through this because that's what God does. God lifts us up. God guides us. God strengthens us. Sometimes we can't see it because it gets blocked by other things. But God's there. God's there. And I've heard many of you talk about God's presence in your life. You know what? I heard somebody say, you'll never be a bright light if you never ask God to make you one. If you don't ask God for guidance and direction, if you never ask God, God doesn't do it. It's called prayer. When Adam and Eve was in the garden and they sinned, they hid, and they came in and God says, where are you? Why did God say, where are you? God knows everything. God knew where they were. What God was saying was, do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? Elijah was hiding in the cave. Why are you hiding in here? Do you know where you are? When Moses went up to the burning bush, God said, what's that in your hand? What, God had never seen a staff before? No. He was asked Moses, do you understand what you've got in your hand? Do you understand? And a lot of times that's what God asks us. Do you understand where you are? Do you understand the significance of this? Do you know what you hate? Do you know where to hide? Knowing where to hide is really important because it's hard to find a place to hide in the middle of a conflict. And also, if I'm asking God to help me with this, and I'm in a conflict and I'm running towards KFC, it's hard for God to help me because I'm headed towards the enemy and my hope is in God's word. And God is faithful and God will take care of it and guide us and give us strength. If we know where we are, would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you for always being there. We may not understand, Lord, at the time, but you do show us. And you ask us questions, Lord, that sometimes we think, why are you asking me that? Don't you know? But Lord, you want us to know. And so, Lord, help us to incline our hearts to you, to reach out to you, to change the way we do things, Lord, so that it comes from the heart and not from a head. When we have that heart that you give us, Lord, the change takes place. Help us in those times, Lord, when we want to run back to that enemy for comfort. Help us to remember that you are our comfort. You are our strength. You're our refuge. And our hope lies in you. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.